In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we lived in the world according to our faith, the world would see saints. The world would see more than 24 saints here in Toccoa. They would see any of us. And they would stop and be shocked at what God had made possible if we lived the faith that we believe in our mind. There is an expression that's common amongst Christians in America today. Believing Christians. I am a believing Christian. But simply to be someone who is a believing Christian means that the faith of the mind, the faith of our conviction, has not yet descended into our heart. The faith of the mind must become physical. It must descend into the heart before it can issue forth as actions in the world. Actions in the world come from the center of who we are. It's very seldom that we ourselves even recognize the message that we are sending by our actions. And if we do make a conscious effort to put our mental conviction and our faith into action, but it is not something that comes from our heart, but is calculated for others to see that we are enacting our beliefs. See, I am doing something that I believe in. I am doing something that I believe in. I am worshiping in a way that is appropriate to Orthodox Christians. I have decided to do some action that is appropriate for an Orthodox Christian. Then there is a hypocrisy of the heart, because our actions are calculated. We are proud of them. They are part of our sense of identity, of who we are. We haven't yet lost that sense that I am who I think I am. When we act in the world, if we see that we are doing something that is contrary to the faith that we believe in, we find some clever way to put it into the context of our mental belief, our faith. We do a kind of quick theology to adjust our interpretation of our action so that it fits with what we believe in our mind. It's very different from an action that comes from the heart. The action that we took, whatever it was, that needs to be justified by this quick recalculation, this quick adjustment, this way of thinking about fasting or about treating others or about how we may have spoken or something that we have decided to do that we can see conflicts with the content of our faith, and we come up with some way of making it fit. A kind of quick pseudo-theologizing, false theology, speaking not from a knowledge of God, but trying to seem as though our actions and our way of thinking and our values and our convictions fit in with our mental faith. With St. Mary of Egypt, there is no such conflict. Her faith, her repentance, her life from beginning to end is physical. With her repentance being physical, she simply follows what she has been told to do. And we have plenty of things that Christ has told us to do throughout the New Testament. We find ways of doing them that don't conflict with the way we live according to our love of the world. But Mary, she does as she is told with her body. Her body serves her soul. Her soul bows to the Holy Spirit. She simply goes into the desert and begins to live in an incredible way. That's very difficult for us to even imagine is possible. She goes into the desert and she lives as the resurrected Christ would live. He can eat, but he doesn't need to. By the time that Zosimus meets her, she is Christ-like. She walks across the water as Christ did. She is living the resurrected life in this world, bodily. Not simply inspired by theology or spiritual writings that enter into our mind and inspire us with a sense of the glory and the holiness of God and the possibility of a human being being at one with God. And that becomes our religion. For Mary, it's different. Her faith is physical. Her betrayal of Christ was physical from the beginning. Her sins were physical. Her repentance is physical. And her living of the life in Christ is physical. She is a revelation to us. She is a wonder to us. She is a witness to us of the actual, factual reality of all of the things that we have been told. They are not just things that we can believe in our mind and keep in our heart, as the heart is understood in the West. A place of feeling. The teachings of the new holiness that God has made possible to us. It has entered into our emotions and our feelings. We may even get emotionally and passionately excited about it, but it's all in the mind. All those passions, all those desires, all those feelings, all those emotions. The West calls that our passionate heart. But the Orthodox teaching about the heart has nothing to do with any of that. The heart is the center of who we are. It is that place that is both physical and spiritual at the same time. The center of who we are. All of the actions that we do in the world come from the heart. If our faith in the mind descended into the heart, then we would be able to forget about trying to act in a way that is Christian. We would simply act as Christians from the heart. That is what is possible. But all of us love the world more than God. Our love of God is real, but we find a place for it where it doesn't interfere with our primary points of concern, all of which are worldly. We add regular communion as a worship of God and go back and live in the world as though no other way but putting the world first were possible for us. As though no other life were possible for us. When we repent, our repentance can be sincere. It's not that when we come to confession, it's necessarily true that we simply confess those ways in which we've acted that don't fit with our mental beliefs as believing Christians. It's quite possible to do. To go down the list of things that we ought not to have done, to make a list and to see these don't fit with my faith, I will go and I will confess them. It's possible to do that without the confession of sins becoming repentance. Repentance, the change of heart. The change of heart that enables us to act when we act toward others from the center of our being. Not adjusted by our mental calculation, deciding that in this occasion we will extend ourselves and act in a Christian way. Only repentance can bring that about. Only true change in heart. The metanoia, the change of heart. Sometimes we translate metanoia as turning around. It's a kind of a beginning introduction to the meaning of repentance. But it's possible for us to rely on ourselves and try to do the opposite thing. Try harder next time. Ask God for His help to do the right thing. Often you will hear that Orthodox writers remind us that God did not come into the world in order to make us, in quotation marks, good people. God came into the world in order to restore us to Him. That transformation, so that we could act from a oneness with Him in our hearts, without calculation, without religion, but in spirit and in truth. For us, it's a back and forth struggle. In Mary, we can see that it is possible for it to be done physically. When we read the canon of St. Andrew of Crete, as we just read the canon of St. Andrew of Crete this last Thursday, along with the reading of the life of St. Mary of Egypt, the canon asks us, what have you done that is like what Mary has done? And we have to say, are we being asked to live as Mary lived? And we just fall short because that is the ultimate, the absolute way of being a real Orthodox Christian. As one person has said, I have to leave Orthodoxy because I see now that in order to be truly Orthodox, you have to be a monastic. You have to be a monk. It's a complete misunderstanding of why we hear the life of St. Mary and what we're being asked by the canon of St. Andrew of Crete. When the canon asks us, what have you done like this? It's not saying, why do you not live the true life of a Christian, which is this life that Mary lived? There is something that we must do that is like what she did. And that thing that we must do in order to live as Christians is metanoia, a change of heart. The illustration of the reality of that, and the fact that it has to do with not just the spiritual and the mental, but the physical, is why we read the life of St. Mary of Egypt. A central reason. There are many reasons. And so what we must do that is like what she did is that there must be a genuine metanoia, a genuine change of heart, so that when we confess in order to purify our heart of all of those times when we've tried to justify actions and ways of living and thinking and treating others and living by pride and vanity. We reject those at the level of our heart. It is painful to do that. There's no prideful way to do it. What we are confessing, what we are rejecting, is the fact that we have lived from pride and vanity and the joy of the things of the world without God. That food, the food of those vices, the food that feeds our ego, makes us feel strong as though we were gods, when the fact is that we are not. We are anything but. That sense of false strength that is given to our ego by our pride and our vanity and our mistreating of others as though they were secondary to us and our viewing of images that are not even fit to think of. All of those things feed our pride. We have lived from that food. That's what we're confessing. When we confess from the heart, we confess from the heart that we have turned to those things, that pride, that vanity, and all the rest, as a source of life. And there is a change of heart, a purification of the heart, and a return to living from the only real source of life, the source of life that made it possible for Mary of Egypt to live in the desert like the resurrected Christ lived. We have been baptized into His death. We are to have arisen from that baptism to a life that is like His. A life like the life of Mary of Egypt, not by doing exactly the same things that she did. God did not ask Mary to give him the life that she gave him. She gave it freely, without a thought, from her heart. That's what makes her who she is. We are called to do something like it. Not to go and live in the desert ascetically, not to embrace extreme asceticism, but to know that the center of our faith comes down to metanoia, this change of heart. If we can once get a grip on that reality, that is the level of the true faith of a Christian, then we will have something to return to when we come to the sacrament of repentance. Then the confession of our sins will be a purification of our having turned to those false places of food, and to return to the chalice to receive a share of oneness with Christ that is physical and spiritual at the same time. A communion amongst all of us, shared together at one with Christ in his body, and having the life of his blood in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.